Is this microphone working?
Yeah.
Okay. You can hear me now? I can remember that when I first met my brother Hubert, it was at a Colorado reunion many years ago when I was a boy. And then many years later, after I moved to Phoenix, as a young man, looking for a job, a career, what was I going to do with my life? I had no idea. He had suggested to me that maybe I apply at Salt River Project. He said it was a good company to work for and had good benefits. And I did that, and I was hired on there. And I actually worked with my brother Hubert for many years there. And we worked together on many different jobs. And throughout my life, he's had a great influence on my life. And I know he's had an influence on many people around America and foreign lands. And he's had an influence on many of your lives here in this room. And we talked about this. This was brought up at the Idaho reunion. And that group there, I mean, our brother Hubert had a great influence on them by them going back to New York. Roy and Mary and meeting with the Tarbells and Brother Hubert, and that proceeded on, and they were converted to the church. And, you know, it was mentioned that our Brother Hubert had converted them, and he was quick to say that it wasn't him, it was the Holy Spirit. And we know it is the Holy Spirit who converts us, but he was a big part of that. He was an instrument in the Lord's hand in converting those people. And I know that he has dedicated his life to the Lord. I know that's what's most important to him. I know when he's had his foot hurt, and I go over to talk to him, and he doesn't like it. He's disturbed when he has to sit there and hold his foot up when he can't be out in the missionary field. So I know he has a desire to serve the Lord all of his days. And today he has been slotted to preach to us. So I would ask that each one of you listen closely to him, to what he has to say, and to how it applies to your lives, and how it can and help us and strengthen us spiritually. So I'd now like to give you our brother Hubert Yates.
Thank you. Brother, It's impossible to tell all the beauties of the gospel of Christ. He has so brought so many beautiful things and taught them, not only by his voice, but by living them as an example for us. How important that is. And you know, I was really lucky when my brother Dwayne came to work there at Salt River Power. We ended up, both of us, in the same area. We were metal fab. We were welding high-pressure steam and high-pressure water and those things. We had to take a test about every 3 months, and they'd check it to see if there's anything wrong with our welding and one thing and another. And we at one time was working down, welding on the generators and welding them, and the water was coming and everything, and you was all closed in inside. He was on one side and I was on the other, and we were in there welding, and boy, that thing just filled up with smoke. We couldn't hardly breathe. You couldn't hardly see through your hood. And so we talked about it, and we decided to ask the Lord to clear that smoke out. So we knelt down and we asked the Lord. We talked about the power of prayer this morning. We asked the Lord to clear that out, and immediately wind started through the tail rates like that and blew all the smoke out, and it stayed out all the time we were down there working for hours. So we had lots of times we had the opportunity to be together, and it was a joy. Just like it's a joy that we are here, that we're able to be together, to visit one with another of the hope that we have within us. And if you believe in the Jesus Christ, you automatically have a hope. you have a hope that what he said and the way that he lived his life, that it was a way to eternal life with him and his Father. You automatically had that hope. The problem is that there's a lot of things that we heard our sister bring out today, you know, and our brother that took in charge and was in charge of the service this morning and the prayer service back there, that guy over there. He said, you know, the world doesn't teach the truth. And you know, sorry to say, brothers and sisters, that's the truth. The world doesn't teach the truth. You know, the Lord has one bride. The scriptures tells you the name of that bride is Christ. She's Mrs. Christ. And it's important for us to remember that, because I want to bring out a few things today. And it's really important, and I'd love to have you follow me in the scriptures or write them down, because I do not want you to take my word for it. I want you to know that the scriptures teaches it. That's what's essential. It's not what I say, but what the scripture says. That's the most important thing. And when I'm out, I try to tell people, read it. I want you to read it. Maybe day after tomorrow, somebody will come over and say, well, where's such and so, Marvin? It's in, and Marvin might say, you know, well, you know, of course, I think he'd know. But I, you know, he'd say, well, you know, I don't remember, but I read where it said thus and so. That's important to know, because the scripture says we're going to be judged by those things that are written in the books according to our works. How we apply them to our life. How important that is. And so the more that I'm out and around, and the more I sit in, like this morning, in a prayer service, and I hear the testimonies of brothers and sisters, and I hear the brothers occupy, you know, in where we just came from, in the other reunion, up there in Idaho, we had four apostles there that occupied during that time. We had some fantastic, beautiful messages. Things that is essential to the soul's welfare of how important it is. And it wasn't just the mind, but they directed it through the power of the scriptures. Which the scripture tells us that God, if you went to the third book of Nephi in the 13th chapter and went over there about the third, fourth verse, it says that God commanded them to write so that you and I today in this dispensation of time would know what is required of us if we want to go live with him and his Father, bar none. We know he commanded Moses to write, the prophets to write. All through the Book of Mormon, he commanded them to write and hand it down from generation to generation. So you and I would know the workings of the power of the love of Christ with the children of men. That as you come and you sit here, even now, whatever your mind is, you better know that the Lord loves you. He created you. He breathed the breath of life in you. And he loves that spirit that lives inside of this house that he made for it to live in. And his desire is that we will be able to come and to live with him and his Father. That's a desire. That's why he came and took on the flesh. That's why he took all the whippings and the spitting upon and the beatings and the things and let him drive nails in his hands and his feet. And all kinds of things, he gave his life that you and I would have an opportunity to have life. And to have that life with him and his Father. That's a desire of his heart for each one of us in this room this day. That we would so order our life that we could go live with him and his Father. That's what it's all about. That's why he came. That's why he has delivered messages through prophets and through different individuals. That he says there are those that have the gifts of revelation, of teaching things. The gifts that he says would be in the church, like the gift of faith, the gift of discernment, the gift of wisdom and knowledge, the gift of understanding, the gift of prophecy. Those things, he says, the gifts will be within the bride of Christ. That's why it's called the Church of Christ. That's why we're called the Church of Christ, because we happen to be part of his bride on this earth. We're part of his bride. And I might bring to your attention that he is not a polygamist. Sorry to say, there is a lot of things that are here and the things that have come out and around and everything. And you know, I hate to say it, but they're not of the Lord. I want you to look at this. This was printed in Life magazine. It's called the Family Tree of Protestantism. You see all those churches? You see them? There's only one here that's called the Church of Christ, and it came from the disciples of Christ. Only trouble is, when you talk to their ministry, they don't believe that God does anything anymore. Man has that power. They don't believe in the miracles of God. They don't believe in those things. But even if he did, I want you to look at this, because it's important that they do not bear his name, the Church of Christ. That's his wife. You know, wherever I'm at and wherever Louise and I are at, wherever, she's still Mrs. Yates. She's not Mrs. Schultzenheimer or Mrs. Hammerslog. She's Mrs. Yates. Wherever the body of Christ goes, that's Mrs. who? Christ. That's Mrs. Christ. And you know about that Mrs. Christ? I told him in Iowa, and I thought I was going to do different there in Idaho, and I thought, well, I was going to change, and I am to a certain extent of what I preach there. But I told him, you know, that it tells you in the Scriptures, I want to go to that. It tells you in the Scriptures that Christ went up on the mountain and prayed. And he went up on the mountain and prayed. And when he prayed there over the night, he got up and he went, and the disciples were there, a bunch of them, and was there. And it says that he chose of them 12 whom he ordained. Christ himself ordained them. And he named them apostles. And they are the head of the church, according to the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Christ over them. Okay? He named them apostles. Those of you, I'm not going to go to it. If you go to the Luke, the 6th chapter and the 12th through the 13th verse, go to Mark, the 3rd chapter, the 13th through the 14th verse. You'll find that he named them, and you'll find that he also called 12 men. And he said their names were apostles, and they were to do the work and help in the work of the gospel, to teach the truth. It's important. Out of these that you see here, there's not a one of them that has apostles. Not a one. And this is just a... This came out in the Life magazine many, many years ago. And there's a lot more Protestantism than there was then when this was printed. A lot more. And it's important that we understand that every one of these on this page right here, way back then, they all teach a different doctrine. Christ has a doctrine. It's only one. And you either believe it or you don't. Or you better study it to find out whether you better believe it or not. That's the important thing. That's why I asked Bob for this. I want you to look at this, because this is really important. If you want to know the truth, and it's the Lord that says the truth will make you free, I know I'm not the best artist, but I'm going to tell you what this is. This is a key that unlocks the doors and all that kind of stuff. That's the key. That's the key that sister was bearing witness of, that so many of them don't believe and don't use it. But this is a scripture in it out of Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse. And in that scripture it says, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord and I change not. Let's think about that for a second. If He changes not, and He called apostles and ordained them and named them apostles and put them at the head of the church, where are they today? Is the Church of Christ here today? Is His church, is His wife here? Well, if His wife is here, she'll be structured just exactly like God Himself structured that church. That's why it bears the name The Church of Christ, bar none. That's why He does that. You know what the world does? The world grabs a hacksaw, look closely, and they cut the end of that key off. What does it say? It says, I'm the Lord and I change. Does He? No. No, He doesn't either. If you went over to the 3rd book of Nephi, the 11th chapter, and the 9th verse, you'd find that witness right here, the same. And throughout the scriptures, you'll find that He didn't change. If you went over like the 1st chapter of James, went through, what is the 16th and the 17th verse, read it. It tells you here, maybe I'll read it for you. I want you to understand that as we go into the scriptures, if His church is here on earth today, it will be constructed exactly like Christ constructed it. That's why this Church of Christ had gathered together here today. That's why we called ourselves the Restored Gospel. If you're restored, you're like the original. We haven't thrown out the name of Christ. We haven't changed it to just call it the Church of Latter-day Saints. We haven't changed it to call it the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We haven't changed it to call it the Catholic Church, or the Methodist, or the Baptist, or the Episcopalian. That isn't calling it the Church of Christ, His wife. That's calling it a different name. I don't call Louise Schultzenheimer. I don't call her a different name. I call her Louise. She's my wife. That's something that we got to come to an understanding in the world today. That's like his sister said, and like others here today. And Bob told about his friend. You know, whether the world likes it or not, God has a way to eternal life, and we don't have a choice. We either take His choice or we're in trouble. Which tells us it's important for you and I to study the scriptures prayerfully and ask God to direct us so we know the truth, so we know how to walk. That's important. That has to do with your life. That's so important, and it's... I'm going to read to you in the scriptures here. I've got to do that. I want to go over into Alma. Okay? And I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to go over on page 431 in the book of Alma, in the Book of Mormon. And he's instructing them there, and this is... Amalekai speaking to the Zoramites. Oh, excuse me, honey. The 16th chapter of Alma. I'm going to start in the 227th verse. He says, yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. Take notice. Now's the time and the day for your salvation. Now's the time and the day for mine. for everyone that's in this room. It's not day after tomorrow, it's 6 months from now. It's how we order our life. Let's go a little further here. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your heart, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. If you live that life, he's going to bless you. You will be blessed. Those of us and those individuals that have tried to apply to the gospel of Christ, you'll find that they've had a good life, a joyous life. That's not to say that you don't have problems. But if you know the Lord, you know where to take the problems. You take them to him. That's where you visit to him. And he helps you to overcome them, or unless he corrects them. That's what it's all about, if you ask. Let's read the rest here. 28th verse. For behold, now listen real close, brothers and sisters. Because he's not only talking to you, sister, he's talking to the world like he was talking to this morning. I want you to listen real close. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors, to live, to walk according to the commandments of God. And now I say unto you, before as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Listen. He's talking to us. He's talking to the world. We're here to work out our salvation. That's why he says we have our own free agency. You can say, I don't want to listen. I'm not going to listen to what the Lord says. I don't care. I don't believe there's a God. That's what our sister was told. There is no God. Well, those who are working out in the field, you've heard that. And a lot of things. But you know, whether it's so or not, I'm here to tell you that there is. And we're going to stand before him in judgment. And if you went over to the 20th chapter of Revelation, it tells you that when they stand before the judgment bar of God, he says the books are opened. I want you to take a look at those books, brothers and sisters. Plural. The books are opened. And another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead are judged out of those things which are written in their books according to their works, how you and I apply them to our life. If we want to go and we want to get drunk and tear things up, if we want to steal, we want to beat up people, if we want to do all kinds of things that is against the law of God, when we stand before him, we're going to stand before him with those things against us. That's what that amounts. It's important that you and I apply. I know the world says, oh, you're not going to be judged of your works. You are not. It's just, you know, just believe, you know, and you're saved. And you're just saved by grace. And they forget all the places where it tells you that grace comes by righteousness. They forget about the places that tells you that grace comes by your works. Not too long ago, I had a brother talk to me in Independence, and he said, oh, no, he says you're saved by grace, and that's it. And so I asked him, I said, you think anybody will go to hell? Well, yeah, they'll go to hell. Well, where's the grace? Is it because they didn't live right? Isn't when they talk about grace over there in Ephesians, isn't it says that though that grace was come, which was Christ, that we were created that we should walk in righteousness, that our work should be righteous, and we were created to do so. Absolutely. There are so many things that are open and direct in the teaching to the gospel of Christ that if you want to get technical, please don't get me perturbed here or anything like that or think that get you perturbed. But all these names of people here, they're not his unless they come to Christ. Now, am I telling you they're all going to hell and they're bad people and everything? I most certainly am not, because I've talked to a whole lot of different churches and people, and there are people there that are honest and holy people, and they're living the best of their ability to what they've been taught. They're living to the best of their ability of what they've been taught. But if you get a hold of the Catholics, they were taught for generations that you didn't need a book because you couldn't understand it anyway. The only one that could understand it was the papacy. So you don't need a book. If you want to know something, go ask the priest. Because you're not, no, it don't make any difference. In the front of the books that I have that was printed by the Catholic Church, it says it doesn't make any difference how well educated you are and everything else. You can't put any interpretation on the scripture. Now, isn't that odd? When the Lord tells you to study to show yourself approved, why? If you don't put an interpretation on something, if the Spirit of God, if that Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, can't reveal and teach you, if you seek and study, then what in the world's going on? What's going on? But this isn't all of the story. I'm just like Par Harvey. This is just the beginning. Yeah. These churches are all separated at different times from the Catholic Church. Yeah. Where'd they get their priesthood? From the Catholic Church. That's where it came from. Did you know that the books that I have in my motorhome that's not here, that was printed by the Catholic Church themselves about their Catholicism and their way, did you know that if I open up that book in the fly leaf, it says History of the Church of Christ, that Jesus formed the first Church of Christ on earth with 12 apostles, and they were the head of the church and took charge. You read further in their book and it tells you later on why their bishop took the place of the apostles. Yeah. Just one thing after another. If you go to the old Catholic Bible, if you went over to Romans 16:16, you know what it says there? It says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Yeah. I'm going to read the other two verses on that because it's important. Go over to Romans 16:16 and follow me, please. I want you to read that. Because it's really important that we understand that there was a Church of Christ. Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offensive, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Those are teaching the awful things that's not teaching the Church of Christ. He says, look out. Next, 18th verse. For they are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, they're paid, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Wow. Is that right? My goodness. How true that is. But you know, her name was Christ. And if you went over to the third chapter of St. John, after the Lord told Nicodemus, he says, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you can't see the kingdom of God. And he went on, and they came to him, and they said to John the Baptist, says, you know that man that you baptized? He's down there with others, and they're baptizing more people than you do. And John told him, he says, I'm not the Christ. He says, it's the bridegroom. that has the bride. But I get to hear his voice. Well, you know, throughout the scriptures, it tells you that it's the bridegroom that has the bride, and that happens to be the Lord. That's why in the 19th chapter of Revelation, it tells you to be of good cheer because that lamb was going to come back to his wife, not wives, wife. And she has made herself ready. That's a proposition for us. We're his wife. He has made herself ready, and she is clothed with white raiment. And the white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. Yes. Do we believe that he changes? Are we going to cut the end of the key off? If he changes, he ceased to be God. He's not the Lord that you and I worship. He's not the one that we say that, well, we'll follow what he says. Because if somebody comes along and says, 5 years ago he did so and so, if it's opposite of what he'd done in the Holy Scripture, you know it's a lie. Because he does not change. He doesn't go around changing and doing different things and deciding all this and all that. He teaches the exact same gospel. The exact same gospel. And I'm going to bring some of that out. You know, when I was in Idaho, I started off and I started talking about that gospel. And I told them of the things that we had. Like if you went over to Mormon, the fourth chapter, and you read the 68th verse there, it tells you that he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He tells you just exactly like James over there in what is the 16th and the 17th verses, that he doesn't even have a shadow of changing. Not even a shadow. Can you see a shadow here? I don't know. Can you? He doesn't even have a shadow of changing. That's so you and I would know the truth, because it's the truth that shall make us free. There's no way out of it, brothers and sisters. If you want to get technical, there's a lot of good people that are hoping in everything like this. There's a lot of those good people that are going to end up hearing that gospel. Yeah. And I believe there's some in this room is going to help them hear it. And have already started. This brother here, my brother McIndoo, Brother Jay, we see them around here, they're teaching the gospel. Is that important? You bet it is. I want to go to a couple, three scriptures and go in some of that thing. I want to turn over to First Nephi, the second chapter. And it's going to be on page 21 in your Book of Mormon. And what it's going to be is, Wheezy, it's going to be the second chapter of the... It's going to be the second chapter of the first book of Nephi. And I'm going to read the 62nd and the 63rd verses, the 62nd and the 63rd. Now, I want you to listen to it, because he goes about this in more than one way. That's why he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all his words will be established. So you don't have to guess. We know who preserved these words and handed them down through the generation of time. It was the Lord. It wasn't just somebody else, because we have people all over the world that don't believe or want to turn it and change it to what they think. But we have to come back to what the Lord thinks, not what man thinks. That's where we're at. That's how important it is. And I want to go there, as long as you're on that page, I want to go to the 62nd verse, and I want to read the 62nd verse and the 63rd verse. He says, and I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, and it led to the tree which I stood. And I also beheld the straight and narrow path which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. Even by the tree in which I stood. Now, let's just bounce down now to 68. And they did press forward. Well, I'm going to go to 68, and I started in 69. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth to partake of the tree, of the fruit of the tree. They came forth to partake of the fruit of the tree, that they held on to that rod of iron. Well, you know, last Sunday I asked him, well, what's the gospel? What's this rod of iron? What is that? I'm going to read a few scriptures, not only in the Book of Mormon concerning that rod of iron, but in the Bible concerning that rod of iron and how important it is. Let's read in this a little bit. Let's go to First Nephi, the third chapter. And there in the third chapter, I want to go over into the 68th verses of the first chapter. That's on page 29. That's the third book of Nephi in the 68th chapter, Elise. And I'm going to start there in the 68th, and I'm going to read through the 69th. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the Word of God. Woo! It was the Word of God, which led to the fountain of the living waters, or the tree of life, which waters was a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of that love of God. That was the Word of God that led to that tree of life. That rod of iron. That was that Word of God. Last Sunday, I sort of verified the fact that that gospel was the Word of God. It led to the Word of God. So we got the gospel, we got the rod of iron, we got those things, and how important it is for us. How important it is for us to know and to understand that that Word of God was the rod of iron that they referred to, the rod of iron. Now let's go over to page 45 in your Book of Mormon. That's the fourth chapter of the first book of Nephi. And there I want to read a few verses. I want to read, I'm going to start in the 36th verse. And this is when the brothers was saying to Nephi, well, what did my father mean by this? And what do you mean by that? And so on and so forth. And Nephi was answering them. And I'm going to start there in the 36th verse. He says, what meaneth the tree which he saw? They were asking Nephi, what do you mean by that tree? Okay. And he said unto them, it was a representation of the tree of life. And then they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which my father saw that led to the tree of life? And he said unto them that it was the Word of God, and whosoever would hearken unto the Word of God and would hold fast unto it, that they would never perish. That rod of iron was the Word of God that directed them, that led them to that place. That's what it was. You read in other places that they got a hold of the end and they went all the way, and some of them turned loose and fell away and were lost. The scriptures, I'm not going to go to it because my time's going. My time's going. Okay. I was told be awful careful, preach a short sermon, so I'm trying to. Okay. Listen. He said they held on to the rod of iron. They went to the tree of life. But that's not all. They partook of the tree of life, and because of the mocking finger of the world. This sister was talking about the mocking finger of the world. The mocking finger of the world, even after they had partaken of the tree of life, they fell away and were lost. They didn't hold fast to what they knew. They didn't hold fast to that gospel. They didn't hold fast to that word of God. Even after they partook of that tree, they fell away and lost. They turned away. In other words, when they stood before the Lord to be judged, and he opened up the books, and they were judged according to their works, brothers and sisters, they were lost. They were cast down to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That doesn't seem like a very good place to me. Or any soul that has a hope. We got kids in here, people in here. How many here like to be tormented? Would you like to be tormented from all eternity to all eternity? Think about how important it is to study and come to the knowledge of the gospel of Christ and know what that rod of iron is and know what that gospel is and how important it is to your soul and mine and the world's that they might come to it. How important it is. And so as we come to these things, brothers and sisters, I want to go to Psalms in your Bible now. I want to go to the second chapter of Psalms. And there in the second chapter of Psalms, I want to read the ninth verse. Are you there? Well, if you read this whole verse, this whole chapter is telling you a lot. Maybe I ought to start the first verse. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his appointed saying. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in the duration. I better adjust my glasses here. Okay. Are you there? What's that word, Dwayne?
It looks like derision.
That's what I thought. But it sounds sort of funny. All right. Derision. Okay. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask me, and I shall give thee the heathen for time for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. They're going to hear the word of the Lord. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. That the rod of iron is going to come. The rod of iron is here. It was restored. And as it was restored in April 6, 1830, by the commandment of God, they were to do what? To establish the Church of Christ according to the law of the land. Oh, that's the same Church of Christ. It says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you? It's the same one, brothers and sisters. And you know when it was established that it had apostles? Joseph Smith, Oliver Cotney, David Whitmer. They had been ordained apostles. They're not like this group that you saw here. They didn't have any apostles. Did you know that? It's really important that we come to an understanding of those things, because he has caused to be written those things that bears you and I the truth. And we can lay hold to the scriptures, and nobody can do anything with you. They might try. They might say a lot of things, and oh yeah, you don't have to be baptized. Just believe and you're saved. And if you go over to Mark, the 16th chapter, go down there in the 15th verse, and he told them to go out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And those who believe and are baptized are saved, and those who believe not are damned. That's his words, not mine. If you went over to the second book of Nephi in the 6th chapter and go down to the 48th verse, it's a commandment of God. He commanded them that they were to be baptized, and if they weren't, they were going to be damned. And the world teaches, oh, you don't have to be baptized. Just believe and you're saved. Look out, brothers and sisters. That's how come it's so important that you prayerfully study the scriptures and ask God to direct you. So when you have things that come to you, you know whether they're true or not. Like St. John, he says, you know, if the Spirit comes and tells you something, he says, try that Spirit. If that Spirit's teaching something that's opposite of God, you know it's not His. You have a right to visit with the Lord and say, is that correct? That you try those spirits, because He's trying all kinds of stuff to deceive us. He's trying all kinds of stuff. The Bible tells us that the devil can stand before you in the light of an angel. Yeah. But if you go to the Book of Mormon, which came forth by the power of God and didn't go through the hands of the Catholic Church and the different churches and the different people that want to alter and change, it says that the devil can stand before you nigh unto a light of an angel. He can't hold a heavenly light. He comes nigh in the light of an angel. How important it is that we understand that He has provided sufficiently in these two books that which is essential for the welfare of our soul, and to recognize things that are trying to be taught by Satan to lead us astray, because he tells us he's an enemy to all righteousness. He's an enemy to all righteousness. We got to remember that. He don't want you to be saved. He wants you to come and be tormented with Him for all eternity to all eternity. That's what it amounts to. I heard a brother and a sister there in the testimony today talk about that, boy, that God can take it. That sister said he got his hand. You know, there's a sister up in Washington where Louise and I visited, coming down this direction. And she's a member of the church. Her husband's an elder. And she was telling us when we were there in a prayer service one time, she was telling us, you know, that she had a dream. And she said, in this dream, she says, I stood and I looked down a vista. And I saw a door at the end of the vista. And it said, heaven and the eternal life. And she looked at that, and all down that vista on both sides stood a third of the host of angels that was cast down with Satan, and Satan was at the very end. And she looked, brothers and sisters, and she says, I knew that I could not make it. I wanted to, but I knew I couldn't. And she said, I began to cry. And when I began to cry, she says, somebody got a hold of my hand. I said, come, I'll go with you. And it was the Lord. said, we started down that vista, and boy, those angels and that devil just scattered everywhere. They wasn't going to mess with the Lord. Well, they're not going to mess with the Lord today. If you have Him in your heart and you love Him and you're endeavoring to live with that gospel of Christ, He'll help you. He still don't have power over the Lord. That's who they cast them out of heaven because they rebelled against. They don't have that power. They're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. There's no way back for them, sister. They know where they're at. That's why they want you and I to go along with them so they'll have all that company. Well, you know, if we have an ounce of sense, we are not going to want to go with them because we're not going to like that. We'd a lot rather live with God the Father and His Son where there's love and peace and harmony and happiness. Entirely different. And the Scripture says we have a right to do that. The Scripture says we have a right to do just exactly that. I want to go now into the second chapter of Revelations in your Bible. And there in the second chapter of Revelations, it speaks again of that power and of that rod of iron. Second chapter, I want to read I want to read the 27th through the 29th verses of the second chapter of Revelation. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's the Word of God. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of a porter shall they be broken to shivers, and as I receive of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. That they're going to be governed and ruled by that rod of iron. That rod of iron that the Book of Mormon was talking about. That one. Now let's go along. We're in Revelation. Let's go over to the 12th chapter of Revelation. And this is an interesting place because we use that a lot about some of the things that's going to take place. And there in the 12th chapter, let's come down to the 5th verse for brevity's sake. And she brought forth a man, child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto His throne. It's going to be ruled by the rod of iron. But, you know, I sat and listened to my brother McIndoo talk about that. And, you know, he brought it out very beautifully. You know, the church didn't give birth to Christ. No. It happened to be Mary. It wasn't the church. But that church had the authority of the priesthood. That authority of the priesthood was taken from the earth when it was gone for 1,260 years. The Catholic Church killed out the apostles, a lot of them, fed them to lions, killed them in every kind of hideous manner. And in 570 A.D., the gospel of Christ was taken from the earth for 1,260 years. And for information, if you're interested and you got your pencil and you want to look it up, add 1,830 to that 1,260 and see if you don't get that 570 A.D. That gospel came forth through that book that they were commanded to keep and everything, and it came forth at the end of the 1,260 years by the power of God. And they were commanded to establish the Church of Christ according to the law of the land. And I know that they went haywire. Yeah, 4 years later, they threw out the name Christ and called it the Church of Latter-day Saints. 8 years later, they decided they made a mistake, and so they called it the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But it's still the Church of Christ. That's His bride. That's His wife. His wife's name is not the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. His wife's name is Christ, Mrs. Christ. How important that is. How important for us to recognize that that is directed openly and directed by that individual. I want to come back to that for a minute. But as long as we're in Revelations, I want to go over to the 19th chapter of Revelations. 19th chapter of Revelations. And there in the 19th chapter of Revelations, I want to read, I'm going to read the 13th through the 16th verse in the 19th chapter. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped with blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And his armies, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepresses and the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah. He's still using, brother, the rod of iron. He's still using the Word of God. That's what he's given us to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, that's what he gave us. That's what he gave us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to go, before I leave that name, brothers and sisters, I want to go to the third book of Nephi. I want to go to the 12th chapter of the third book of Nephi. 12th chapter of the third book of Nephi. It's on page 672 where I'm going to start reading. Follow me, please. Or write it down and go back and read it. There's a lot of churches in this world today, and they're called all different kinds of things and everything else. But I want you to listen. When Christ was here among the seed of Joseph of the house of Israel, I want you to know how he answered them when they ask him point blank, what do we call the name of that church? And he answered it point blank. See if you can find your way around it. The world does. See if you can. I'm going to start there in the 12th verse. That's the 12th chapter of the third book of Nephi, the 12th verse. And it came to pass that they did do all things even as Jesus had commanded them. They did what Jesus commanded them to do when he was upon them in this land. Okay? And they were baptized in the name of Jesus, were called the Church of Christ. Well, that's sort of familiar, isn't it? Let's go a little further. And it came to pass that the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus. It came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what will ye that I should give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we shall call this church. Oh, that's our church. Let's listen to what he says. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the Scriptures? Oh boy, that's something we need to do, brothers and sisters. Have they not read the Scriptures, which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name, and for by this name shall ye be called at the last day, and I think we're living in it, okay? And whosoever shall take upon him my name and endure to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Now he's answering a direct question. What are we going to call the name of this church? Let's go a little further. 19th verse. And whatsoever ye shall do, ye shall do it in my name. Therefore ye shall call the church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake, and how be it my church, save it be called in my name. What's his name? Christ. For if the church be called in Moses' name, then it be the Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of the man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. There's where the shoe pinch goes. That if it's called the church of Christ, if it's built on his gospel, it's his. If it isn't built on his gospel, it isn't. Just like the churches of Christ that are around in the world today, and you can go to them and go enter in and visit with them and one thing and another. They don't believe in apostles. They don't believe in the things that you and I believe, because we believe it because that's what Christ said. It's from the Scriptures. That's what he expects us to teach, is those things that are written and brought forth by the power of the Almighty God. That's why he said, go to the Spirit of truth. He shall teach you all things. He says, when I'm going to go, he says, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. He says that you're going to have the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's your gift after you're baptized. It remains with you. And he says, you know, he says, the world can't receive it. Well, if the world can't receive it, and you're studying the Scriptures prayerfully, that tells me that you should know more about what the Lord taught than the world. Immediately. You can know what he verifies is essential for your soul's welfare. And I'm here in my poor way, bear witness to you that in the Scriptures, the books that we have, will put to rest any kind of false prophecies or revelations or directions there is from the different churches of the world, because he has caused those things to bring it to light so you and I will know the truth. And it's the truth that shall make us free. No other thing. That's how important it is. And you know, he has taken so much time to do that. He has taken so much time to do that so that we would know. That's why he says so many places. And I just question, you know, the Scriptures are full of the fact he doesn't change. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did you know that everywhere you go, that he just brings it out? Go to the 16th chapter of Alma. It's important, I think. Go to the 16th chapter of Alma. And there in the 16th chapter of Alma, I want to go to the 200, it's in 28. It'll be on page 431 in your Book of Mormon. And I want you to listen real closely to what those brothers said and what they witnessed, and you know, and just exactly what the score is. And I'm going to start there in 228 for brevity's sake. And that we live in the thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you, yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that ye may not be overpowered, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day, for behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, and that ye bear with all manner afflictions, that ye do not revile against those who do cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest ye become sinners like unto them, but that ye have patience and bear with those afflictions with a firm hope that ye shall one day rest from all your afflictions. That's what he expects of us. He expects those things of us. He expects us to do those things. He expects us to love and to do those things. And how important it is. And you know, I'm not going to turn to it because that clock is still ticking. But you know, he tells you that he does not walk in crooked paths. He doesn't go from the left to the right. He does not change his word. But it is the same. How important that is, brothers, so you and I can find him. It was so important so you and I could find him, so the world could find him and know him and know what's required of us so that we could go live with him and his Father. That's why he caused these things to be written, to edify us, if we take the time to prayerfully study and seek. You'll know the truth. And he says, the truth shall make you free. That's what we want. Yes. When he says that, that means free of sin. If we follow it. Yes. That's what that means. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm going to quickly cover part like I did there in Idaho. I didn't get a chance to really get into it. But I want you to go to the 24th chapter of Matthew in your Bible. And there in the 24th chapter of Matthew, I want you to listen real close, because he brings out similar to the same thing as they did about the rod of iron.